Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Firstly, I'd like to say today's episode is brought to you by Brenjo's Earth Moving Contractors. Brenjo's is a locally family-owned and operated civil contracting business and is keeping on track providing services to the rail industry. Brenjo's assists with earthworks inside the rail corridor and maintenance of our railway track within the Central Queensland coal network. Brenjo's recognises the importance and advantages of diversity and inclusion within their workforce and fully support women in the industry by way of employing a number of female staff in positions of project manager, plant operators, administrators and trackside workers. So a big thank you to Brenjo's and a shout out to all the workers out on track today. So the first thing I'd like to talk about this morning, Tony, is my book, High Heels to High Viz, and the layout in which I've designed my book to introduce a bit of the industry lingo and terminology for people to get used to of what they might come across in the industry. So throughout my book, I call my chapters Toolbox Talks. So a toolbox talk is a very imperative part of the start of the workday on site, and it's a pre-start meeting. It's a mandatory meeting for all the workers on a shift, and it's held at the start of every shift, and it's the way nearly every resource site worker starts their workday. So in some instances, it may well be the most important part of your day. The meeting can be large or small, depending on your work crew, and it will be held by the leading hand or supervisor. The meeting will include all members of your crew on site. So in my book, our pre-start is our toolbox talk. So our toolbox talk today is just going to be about the industries that we're advocating for women to pursue careers in. And then throughout the chapter, we go on to, I like to journal. That's one of my best and most favoured interests is journaling. And it's the favourite way to start and finish the day for me. It improves and sets the mindset for the day, reflecting on our thoughts and feelings. And journaling through a transition can be a great way to also sort through what you're going through and to plan for what's to come. So before you rush out the door of a morning, grab your coffee and a side of self-reflection. Take a few minutes to write down your thoughts because you'll get to know yourself better and it'll even help you identify progress and patterns within your routine. So feel free to journal whatever you feel. Say what's on your mind. Where your focus goes, your energy flows. And from the topic we talk about each week, there'll be five takeaways, which on site and in our work processes, we have to do a take five. So you'll have five takeaways at the end of each week that I hope that you will be able to assist you in your journey on finding a career within these roles. So, Tony, do you have anything to ask me straight off?
Jo, before we go on, I've got a wonderful question for you, but I'm just wondering, your screen is freezing, so we've swapped the spotlight onto me, just so our watchers and listeners know. Sometimes there's technical issues that we have no control over, and that's what's happening this morning. We can hear Jodie lovely, live and perfectly, we just can't see her. So, Jo, I've read your book and I love the layout, and for me it immediately took me into the realm of non-traditional roles and mining. And so can you explain why you did the lookout like that and the lingo? What's the lingo you speak of?
So the layout was more so just to introduce a bit of the terminology that is used throughout majority of the industries. Of course, it's specific to each industry. They have their own acronyms and processes that they refer to. So I've just used, I've named a few in here that we use quite a bit within the rail and the mining industry. And learning our lingo. So there's another acronym that we're all used to is LOL, but we know it as laugh out loud, whereas here I'm teaching you to learn our lingo. So we'll LOL throughout our little sessions. So in our industry, safety is a key word, and it's the most crucial and fundamental aspect of our day-to-day practices undertaken in the workplace. So what does safety mean? Safety is the condition of being protected from or unlikely to cause danger, risk or injury. And it's a concept that includes all measures and practices taken to preserve the life, health and bodily integrity of individuals. So in a workplace, safety is measured through a series of metrics that track the rate of near misses, injuries, illnesses and fatalities. So in order to improve these metrics, employers and safety officials must also conduct investigations following any incidents to ensure that all safety protocols and measures are being followed or to implement new ones if required. So there's a lot to do with safety. And as you get on site, you'll learn lots. So knowing how to perform a job and or a task properly includes knowing how to do it safely to protect yourself and your workmates. When you're a newbie, you have to get to know your job and work area inside out. And in order to meet the regulatory mandate, you as a newbie have to learn the rules and the specific requirements for doing a good, safe job. Even if you have experience doing a certain kind of job somewhere else, you may not know how to do a job in this way at this particular site that you've got a new role in. So safety is a major, major topic that you need to get used to, and you need to learn to love the word and the understanding of it and the compliance of it.
Jodie, when you talk about near misses in these jobs, do you see a lot of near misses? I mean, on the news and we often hear about the catastrophic, horrible situations in the mining industry, but on a daily basis, do you often see near misses, or are they well managed by the processes and procedures that they teach you about in your induction process?
I would definitely say nowadays they are pretty well much well managed, and because of the processes and procedures that workplaces have in place and they have to have in place to meet legislation and, you know, safe working regulations. But of course, you know, to err is human, and there will always be some instances, and unfortunately those near misses do occur. But in relation to, that's why we have our safety procedures, that we don't see a huge amount of that incident, which is, you know, that's what we want. That's the purpose of having safety. That's what we don't see.
So you would say from your perspective that the mining and construction industry has gotten safer the further along that we've gone?
Oh, much so. Like, As each year or month progresses, there's all new innovative ways of coming up in preventing, you know, any injury in a workplace. And it's up to us as the individual and worker to adhere to those safety processes and compliance to not ensure just the safety of yourself, but the safety of your fellow workmates and the work site in overall.
Yeah. And that in itself keeps everyone safe, doesn't it?
It does. And we all want to go home every day after work.
Yeah. Australia has a pretty good track record, for industry safety, doesn't it? I mean, we have seen some big mining accidents, but they're kind of few and far between, aren't they?
There has been, unfortunately, over the last 12 to 18 months now, we did see a few fatalities in the sector, which was unfortunate. But in the outcome of those, there was a lot of investigation and more control measures put into place to alleviate any further risk to the workers. And hopefully we're all attending to those improved processes.
Yeah.
And much more awareness is being brought to the work site and to the employees on those work sites.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yay, we've got Joe's video back. That's awesome. Oh, it's good to see your smiling face. Just again, for those listening and watching live, these things happen with live radio. We're bouncing from the Gold Coast up to Joe in Mackay, which is central Queensland, over to the US and back again, and then linking live to all social media, which is pretty phenomenal when you think about it. And of course, there's going to be glitches. So Joe, you next wanted to talk about women working in male-dominated industries and professions and why they should do this. So what sort of industries are you advocating for?
So I'm what I believe in is more women in male-dominated professions and industries. It means multiple points of view approaches to solutions and less mistakes, hopefully.
Yeah.
Everyone benefits. And in recent years, there's been a push for more women in male-dominated professions. And is it worth the effort to take a break into these fields? Yes, it is. And We know, according to statistics, that male-dominated industries are those with less than 25% women. And they tend to be the toughest fields for women's career advancement. Why?
Okay.
Well, research confirms something many experts have long suspected, given that in male-dominated industries, senior leadership tends to be made up of men, so they set the tone for masculine stereotypes that creep into HR strategies and tools, unfortunately. But what we've got to think about is why we're advocating for more women to get into these industries is Australian women retire, and I would dare say the American Society of Women do, with about half the amount of money as men do, and one third of women will have nothing at all going into retirement.
Yeah.
So while parenting plays a key role in reducing a woman's retirement and her position there, workplaces also remain significantly gender segregated. So with more than 40% of men and a third of women working in industries dominated by their gender, we need to actively pursue and push for women to get into these more fulfilling and financially stable positions to set them up for their retirement and life later on.
Yeah, because that's one of the reasons that these industries are or should be attractive for women is they're very well paid, aren't they, Joe?
They are. And, like, there's still percentages around in our local area here, which is major mining, and in agricultural, we have a big sugarcane industry here in my area.
Yes.
But where the workforce is around 87% male in coal mining, less than 80% of workers are female in that sector. Construction and road transport are also both around 87% male, and major sections of manufacturing are also heavily male, while the industry overall is around 28% female. Metal manufacturing subdivisions are both over 85% male, and the only manufacturing sector with a high level of female participation is the small textile sector. The tech sector, plagued by, unfortunately, sexism, remains heavily male-dominated at nearly 80%.
Yep.
And that's where we need a big push in getting the younger girls and women more into STEM, which is the science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields.
So, Joe, what are some of the things that stop women from considering roles in these industries?
A lot of the time, women underestimate their own ability, and they also get put off by the work sites or the thought of the work site, you know, the grease and the grime, or they think it's the equipment's too big for them to handle or to operate, or they wouldn't fit into the environment. So there's a lot of stereotype and misguiding information out there that needs to be explained and a myth squashed that women do and are acceptable into these industries and resources.
Yeah. And it's true that women, I'm just thinking of those mammoth big mining trucks across the mining sector in particular, and there's quite a lot of women driving those massive big trucks. So women shouldn't not think that they're capable of doing these things, because these massive mining trucks and vehicles are actually relatively simple to drive now, aren't they, Jo?
They are. And like the training available these days is it suits the environment, and it's made to attract the women to get on board, because it isn't rocket science to operate a lot of those machines, and everyone's capable of doing the job, and I'll always say that. And you just need to apply yourself and step out of those comfort zones and attempt and try, and you'll find that they aren't complicated or hard to use or operate or be involved with.
Yeah. And the same goes for any of the manufacturing industries or the traditional tradie industries like plumbing and electrical. And there's no reason why women can't give those a go if they so desire. And we've briefly lost Jo for a moment, so I'm going to keep talking about Jo's passion for women in non-traditional roles. And from Jo's perspective, she has been driving a huge coal train for 7 years now, and she loves it passionately. And her role involves loading and unloading coal from a massive train that travels from the coal basin where it's loaded and off to the docks in Queensland, where it's moved by sea all over the world. And I know how much Jo loves her job, and she's loved it since she took the giant step. When she was unemployed, she saw an advertisement for the role of trainee train driver in Mackay. And I know that she personally struggled with doing that role and even applying for that role. And she also was worried about whether she was capable of doing the role. So she did her application, and she sat and thought about it for up to an hour. And whilst she thought about it, she eventually hit the button and sent her application off. And of course, the rest is history. She was successful in her application for trainee train driver. She got the role, and she's loved it. And she's been doing it for over 7 years now. So she has become in that time not only an author, but an advocate for women in the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries. She is not only a train driver, but she's a small business owner with her husband, and they are contracted to the mining and rail industry as well. She comes with a wealth of information and knowledge about the sector, and she's become an influencer and an advocate for women in non-traditional roles in the sector, and she has become the go-to woman for those roles and information about getting those roles. Now, whilst we try and get Jo back on Zoom, I am going to keep talking about Jo's book, which is called High Heels to High Viz, and her book is set up so that it gives you like an introduction to the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries. And it's written in a way that will start to get you used to some of the speech, the lingo, the industry language and terminology. That's the way she's written her book. And it includes wonderful instances like tool time talk and how the different roles within the industry relate to you, and the book will get you used to some of that terminology. She also includes items like Take Five, Safety Share, and Positive Communication. So over to you again, Dawn. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.